This interview for the Chinese-Jamaican Oral History Project is with Eustace Lin. The date is November 11th. The location is Pickering, Ontario, and the interviewer is Daniel Clarkson Fisher. Would you please tell us where you were born, Tess?
I was born in Kingston, Jamaica, West Indies, on June the 4th, 1938. My parents' names are Willie and Alice Lin. They were actually born in Jamaica, but they went to China, like everything else, to carry on their whatever it is supposed to be. I was the first of six children, two boys, four girls. Unlike everything else, the first child is usually sent back generally to China to whatever it is to, what should I say again now?
To sort of learn about
China? Yeah, to learn the history and where we actually came from. As my parents say, the intention was to send me back to the village to learn more about the history of the Chinese there. But anyhow, my grandfather, who I went over back with, decided that it's not for me to go to the village because the communists were coming and it was a little unfair. So I actually was sent back to Jamaica a couple of years after. But because of that, my schooling was a little bit backward. And so eventually I end up in college, and I didn't have too many people behind me telling me what I should do. So I did my own things, and I played a lot of sports. And I didn't quite finish school. But anyhow, that was that.
Were there subjects that you liked in school, things that you enjoyed doing?
No, not really. I think losing a couple of years in primary school actually did set me back. And there was no mentor or anybody that could encourage me to do what I should do. So instead, I took up sport as a whatever. And I did pretty well, and I enjoyed that, but I realized I had something to fall back onto, because my parents had a business, and I realized that eventually I'll get into that. So having all this schooling background never seems to make any big difference to me.
Yeah.
And that's it. So eventually I end up leaving school. I didn't graduate, actually. I took my exam, but I wasn't really too keen on finishing it, so I left and eventually went into the business with my parents, and that's it.
Could you tell us some more about your parents?
Oh, as I said before, my parents were of Hakka origin. My mother, who is a Loden Kwe, she's also Hakka, and they're from a village called Nyufu in Guangdong province. And my father was from Danjuk Tau, which is also from Guangdong province. And as I said, they were born in Jamaica. Their parents actually came to Jamaica to register and took them back to China. And they came back when they were youngsters, 14, 15, 16. Well, my mother really didn't know my father at that time.
Mm.
But for some reason, eventually they got together, and that's it, you know.
Did you know grandparents or kind of ancestors further back?
Oh, my grandfather married a local Jamaican at the time and may have had about four or five children, or more for that matter. And he decided that he wanted to go back to China to have his resting place there. And so as he was going back, he decided that I should go along, mm-hmm. but also with his other children. And he lived for a couple of years before he died. But as I said before, that I was supposed to have gone to the village. And as I said, he decided against that because, as I said, the communists were coming, and he didn't think it was right for me to go back. Which in that case, though, quite a few of my other friends that have came to China with me because they were the firstborn and so on, some of them went to the village, some spent quite a long time, and some of them, because of the communists, didn't make it. And that's it. So I was maybe fortunate enough to have my grandfather thinking about what could have happened.
Yeah.
So rather than taking that choice, he made me come back to Jamaica. And that's it, yeah.
This is your father's father?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My father's father, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What do you remember about China, your time there?
You know, when I went there as a little boy, I was about 10 years of age. We went to what they call a part of the British colony, which is called Taipu, or New Territory. My step-grandmother, for some reason, didn't quite get along with me. So schooling didn't matter to her, but I was supposed to have gone back to school, which I didn't. But everything was like an adventure, you know. I went to the sea by myself as a 10-year-old, did the fishing, went to the river, went to the mountainside and everything. So everything was all an adventure for the next couple of years. Not quite a couple of years. Eventually we decided to go to Hong Kong, which is a territory called Kowloon, which I spent the last couple of months there before I came back to Jamaica. But as I said, everything was more like an adventure. A lot of people couldn't understand why I was so left alone as a 10-year-old. Anything could have happened at that time because I was swimming in the river all by myself. And people were wondering, how can a little boy like that is allowed to do all of that? But nobody knows. I left home early in the morning and come home late at night. Sometimes I go to movies and I see three triple bill at one time. So, you know, that was it. So that was an adventure, yeah. And then I came back on a cruise line, actually. It's called President Gordon. I left Hong Kong and I went to Shanghai and then San Francisco, and then took the train from there to Miami, and from Miami back to Jamaica. Wow. I had a couple of ladies that were supposed to be my guardian at that time, so I wasn't quite all left alone at that time, you know, so, yeah. So as I said, that was an adventure, but it sort of put me backward in my schooling, but what the heck, it doesn't, so that's it, yeah.
Did you tell me, too, that you went through New York on your way to China,
no,
or no, that was another
not
time.
New York. New York is when my dad, at the time, 1962, when we had independence, he decided that, okay, he'll put me on a trip to New York. He had a couple of friends there that I met and stayed with, and I was up and down all by myself, too. But 1962, I must have been about 22, 23, yeah. So I went to the Empire State Building and did all the thing by myself, and so I get to see a little of the big world, so to speak, at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah.
Well, going back to Jamaica, could you tell me the names of your brothers and sisters?
Oh, well, as being the eldest, my brother is Richard, and then you have Joyce. They were twins, actually. Joyce passed away a couple of years ago. And then you have Jeanette, and Elaine, and Maureen. Yeah, and that's the six of us there, yeah. So that's it. But, you know, spending a couple of years away while we're young, I actually didn't get to know my siblings all that well because of the couple of years that was missing for that point of view. So as coming back as a 12-year-old, by the time I was 13, I'm out in the street with my street friends, so to speak. So with my siblings, I really haven't had much to do with them, you know, so that was that. So, and then when you go to college, you have your friends that you're with mostly in the days and in the evenings and so on. Oh, yeah. Growing up as a kid, we had a lot of fun too. That is me anyway. Fun. Because, you know, we lived very close to the sea, to the ocean, so to speak. Not more than maybe about 100 yards. And as soon as the school holidays, we were all down by the seaside. All boys, of all different color and ages were down there swimming, catching fish, crab and everything. And then we'll come up back and then we have an open land where we play a lot of football and cricket and so on. So all summer long and during the course of that period, that was fun.
Do you have particular friends that were important or that you still stay in touch with?
Not really. We're all just good friends. You know, every night we'll gather by the street side and then we'll tell ghost stories. And then after all of that, everybody say, "Who's going to follow me home? I'm scared." And then the other one say, "If I follow you home, who's going to follow me home?" And that was that. And we had a lot of fun that way too, you know. Yeah. And so that was that. Yeah.
And the work, can you talk about working in the store with your parents?
My father had what they call a haberdashery hardware store. And most of his customers all come from the countryside. You see, in that way, it was actually what they call a wholesale hardware store. And we used to have to lift up the zinc and the cement and the whatever to put into the shop. And even when the customer wanted it, we have to try and take it out and put it into the customer's truck or bus or whatever it is. Yeah, so it... And that's how I learned from being that way, you know. And then, Jamaica is in certain areas where we were, there are also a lot of poverty there too, you know. And I know my old man used to have a little container and he'll fill it with quarters. And every time someone would pass and pick up a quarter or two and he goes along. You know, and that's his, what he called, of giving back a little at times. So that's it. Yeah.
What were your neighbors like? Were there people who ran shops who you knew around the store?
In the store?
Yeah.
Well, they're all shopkeepers.
Yeah.
You know, of all different, some were haberdashery, hardware, some were just groceries and so on, so. But we all knew each other at that time, you know, just casually, you know, because we're all competitors, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it. So, yeah. But it was an experience, you know, you learn. And then this is eventually I get to meet Joan. And then we're planning to get married. And then... her mom decided to sponsor the wedding. And then when my dad heard about it, he said, no, my firstborn son, nobody's going to sponsor that wedding but me. And man, we had a big wedding. All his friends and everybody all over the countryside came. And that was that. So, you know, eventually helped me out also. He decided maybe I should start my own little business. And he helped me and we purchased a little business uptown. And for a couple of years we did pretty well, you know, so it wasn't bad. And then that was in a period of about 1973, 72. And then I had not a customer, a friend, and he said to me, you know what, things are not looking so good in Jamaica because there's a lot of political turmoils back there, you know. And being as a minority, he thought maybe there could be problems. Mm-hmm. And it never really quite turned out that way. But what happened, though, like everything else, once you want to do something and then somebody follows and then somebody follows, keep following. And we all decided, say, listen, why don't you get out your papers that you could head out of the country eventually. But at that time, there were only two places that possible we could have come to, was either Canada or America. But most people decided, since Canada was a part of the British Commonwealth at one time, it would have been much fairer to come here. So, funny enough, though, John and I were just walking up and down we're close to where the Canadian immigration was. We didn't quite sure where it was, so we just walked, and this guy came up and he said to me, are you looking for the embassy? I said, what embassy? Canadian embassy? I said, how did he know that? Because we're just walking around like shoppers. And then he pointed out where it was, a couple of blocks away and here and there. So, okay, we'll just go and see what happened. So we went there and we looked, and there he was there. I said, hey, oh, that's so funny, you know. He just picked me out like that, and then he said to me, you are Canadians now. I said, what? Here are the papers, all there. And then he said to us, how many other relatives you have that you think would like to come there? I said, wow, I don't think any of them had any intention or any ideas. And then John said, okay, maybe about a dozen form. And he said, here's a dozen form. And then Joan gave them out to all her siblings and friends or whatever. And here we are in Canada all together. So that was that. And that was really something, you know. I don't know. Maybe fate did it that way.
Yeah.
You know. And considering now which we are now in 2018. And looking back, talking to all my friends that are all here now, they had no regrets, considering the problems we are still having there. But who knows, you know? Yeah.
Could I ask you to talk a little bit more about Joan and when you met Joan? And
well, Joan was sort of a, let me see now. I was at the Chinese, Chinese Athletic Club one night. And that's the place that I frequent a lot as a single person, you know. And there are a lot of friends there. We play cards and dominoes and whatever. And we also play some form of badminton. And one night, Joan and her brother-in-law and someone else came in. And I said, who is that? I've never met her before. But she was younger then. She was about 15, 16, and I was an old guy. So I said, maybe. And then eventually we got to play badminton, and we play as a team for a couple of years. And then I watching her, I said, well, am I grooming this lady for somebody? I said, no, I think I better groom her for myself. And then we decided, okay, we're going to go out as a couple. And then we eventually decided to get married. And that was it. So, you know. But like everything else, sometimes you didn't think something could happen, but it happened.
Yeah.
And what? Gave me two beautiful children, and that's it. You know, and now I have two grandchildren. Well, what more can I want? Life has really been very, very, very kind to me, and I appreciate that, to be honest. Yeah.
So when you came to Canada, you came with one of those children and your mother-in-law.
I came with my little girl, Stephanie. She was about just a little over a year at that time. And my mother-in-law, she actually wasn't going to come in the first place. But when she saw everybody leaving, oh boy, I got to leave too. And then, you know, my mother-in-law was... a person, one in a billion, to be honest with you. When she met me, she and June, and when I used to go to her place, she took a liking to me, and you know, everything worked out just fine. And during the period that she is retired and she wanted somewhere to stay, she stayed with us for at least 30 years before she passed away. She passed away when she was just about 100, and that's pretty good. And she enjoyed herself staying with us, so, you know, and we appreciate it too, because we had a business, as I said before, and when we were working, we had Stephanie, and then Jamie came along, and Grandma was there to help look after them, carry them to school, feed them, and so on. So that took a load off our back, and that was pretty good. And she loved that, and we appreciate that. So, yeah.
And then you opened a store in Canada, but not right away. You tried other things.
You know, funny enough, when we first came to Canada, it was about 1974, to register. Went back to Jamaica, ran the store for a year, and then came back. I came back in 1975. At that time, the store we had in Jamaica, I passed it over to one of my cousins. We came here, and I found a job working as a car salesman. And Joan decided she went to, a beauty salon. To study hairdressing. And then one day we were driving, and she, you know, Joan was a little bit more entrepreneurial in a sense, because she never really worked out in Jamaica or anything like that. And we're passing, and she said, why don't you stop and look at one of these stores, you know? And then she saw a store for sale, and we decided to go and look at it. But for some reason, we didn't. And then to where we were living, we weren't living there, went somewhere else, and then we spoke to one of the, franchise managers, and he recommended a place to us that was up for sale. So we went to look on it, and we decided that, okay, that's fine, maybe we could try something there. So we took it over, and then we moved from a little further. When we're living, we're a little bit far, so we decided to move closer, which took us about 2 minutes drive to or less to get to work, so that was fine. And then we stayed there for the next 25 years, and even up to now, after 15 or 16 years closed, I still have people that keep asking me, why did I close this store? They had liked it so much, and we did so much to help them out, but that was that. And Stephanie did pretty well. She helped us in the store. She, you know, after hours of school, and she came, or even during the weekend, she came and she helped out. So that was fine. So, and we decided, well, you know what happened? After so many years, the big guys start to come in, like Canadian Tire, Home Depot, and that put a little dent on us. So we decided, you know what, hard to compete against these guys. So we decided to close the store down, and that was it. Yeah. So it didn't favor us that well, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, yep.
I have a sense. There have been times you and I have been out and people have recognized you and come and talk to you about the store. I have a sense you were a little bit like your father in terms of being generous and trying to...
No, I don't think I'm generous to the point, but, you know, I believe in life that you don't try and make enemies, right?
Yeah.
You just try to be friendly, and some people find me not that friendly, but you know what? I can't change the look of my face sometime, and I said, yeah. So that was that, you know.
Yeah.
But those who get to know me, as a matter of fact, I've had a few friends and said, gee, my face was so sour sometime, and they would say, wow, I wouldn't want to know this guy. And when they said they get to know me, they said, what a difference it makes. I said, well, that's the way you can, you know, you can't judge a book by the cover, right? So that's it.
And can you talk a little bit about life now? You're involved in Chongqing. You have grandchildren.
Well, you know what, life. I must admit, and every I'm not going to fool. Every night I go to bed and I pray. I say, thanks. Thank you for blessing my life with two grandchild and having two children as such, and making us make a decision coming to maybe the right place to live and to bring up our children and so on. And it was good. We are now a member of the, what they call the Tungsing Association, which is now generally of people that are from Jamaica and some from China and some from different parts of the Caribbean. Whether you're blue, black or black, doesn't really matter. We all get together and have fun. And that is good too, because there are normally generally a few hundred of us that gathers together maybe once a month. And I'm sure that anywhere in the world haven't got that, here. So we enjoy that, you know. And it makes us feel whole, you know. There's, what should I say? Not lonely or anything, but it gives us a feeling of goodness, you know. Yeah.
And you're a full-time grandparent.
Listen, I'm a full-time grandparent, and you know what? I have a lot of friends, but I haven't seen you for a few years. I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. I wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. I appreciate my two grandchildren. As a matter, the first one first, which took us a couple of years to bring to a point. And now this other one is only 10 months, so it's going to take us a few more years to bring this one to a point too. So I appreciate it, and I love that, doing that, you know. What am I going to do? Just sit down and twiddle my thumb and watch TV? No, I don't think so. I think it's come to a pass where I used to enjoy playing sports, but, you know, at this point in time at my age, I don't think I could do it anymore. So I had fun doing it, and that was good. Yeah.
So you are Chinese-Jamaican. For someone who's not familiar with Chinese-Jamaicans, how would you describe the community?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Being Chinese-Jamaican doesn't seem to, make a big difference whether I'm Chinese-Jamaican or Jamaican-Jamaican, because, as I said, we're all from Jamaica and we seem to stay together more or less. As much as I'm Chinese-Jamaican, I really do not associate too much with outside Chinese, because most of the Chinese that are in North America are more from the, other culture of Chinese, what they call the Cantonese Chinese or the Mandarin Chinese. Being Hakka Chinese, being Hakka Chinese, to the Chinese community, we are considered outsiders, because I think, you know, I'm not quite sure, but from what I understand, that the Hakka Chinese were from the Manchurian descent, and what they call us travelers, because we migrated all the way from upper, Mongolia, coming straight down into the lower section of China to settle. And so we sort of stayed by ourselves, because, as we are saying, we are isolated by these other set of Chinese. Not that they consider us Chinese, but they consider us maybe a low class of Chinese. And but that didn't matter to us in Jamaica, because, you know, when you really think about it, the Chinese that left China because they were actually forced to leave, so to speak. And a lot of them went to different places, Mauritius, they went to Australia, they went to part of the Caribbean, some went to Trinidad, Guyana, Jamaica, some went to Cuba, and that seems to prove pretty well. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think originally, though, some of the Hakka Chinese were taken to as, not slaves really, but they were taken to the Panama Canal to build a railroad. And then an epidemic came about, and they were not able to send them back to China, but some of them were dispersed to the islands, Trinidad, Jamaica, and so on. And so this is how some of these islands became inhabited by Chinese, so to speak. And then in turn, they, being there, they sent back to China for their relatives. And so the, in the 1930s and 40s, a lot of them came to the Caribbean. And so this is where we are, you know, yeah.
And what does being Chinese Jamaican mean to you personally?
As a matter of fact, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just under my color, so to speak. Being a Jamaican is just being a Jamaican. Jamaican really doesn't really imply that you're in color, as a matter of fact. Being Jamaican is a Jamaican. As I said, if you come to our social gathering, there's a lot of Jamaican of different colors, but we're all Jamaican. And that's it. I mean, point blank, there's no, you're Chinese Jamaican, you know, so it make a big difference. Or you're black Jamaican, so it make a big difference. Or a white Jamaican. We have all different colors, and we're all Jamaican. And so we don't look on each other for color. Oh, I prefer your color, you prefer my color. And this is why in Jamaica, there's a lot of integration. Mm-hmm. You know, and you'll see, when you come to this part of the world, you see people of different color. But they're all mixed, so what's the big deal? You know, as a matter of fact, my wife is mixed. Yeah. So what am I going to say? And my grandchildren are all mixed. What am I going to say? you know, we all are human beings, yeah. Regardless of what they are. We all, you know, should respect each other. The only thing that bothers me is there's so much problem all over the world today. These migrants are having such a hard time from the States, from Honduras and from the Middle East, and I shake my head sometimes. But, you know, at this point in time in our life, in the 21st century, things should have been much better. But for some reason, there's too much turmoil in each country. You know, so it's hard for me to say what should be and what shouldn't be, but they are the one that making the country run, so to speak, so. Yeah.
So I'm just going to check really quick.
Yeah.
So knowing that this is going to be a collection of memories and stories of people, is there anything you'd like to say to your grandchildren in the future, to other generations that might listen and want to learn something about Chinese Jamaicans in Jamaica migrating to Canada, just the kind of larger story?
I don't, it's hard for me to say, you know, I looking back now, everything seems to happen for a purpose, and I can't look forward to say what's for my grandchildren now, but they just have to continue, you know, appreciate life and think back on of what their parents did for them and what their grandparents did for them or what their great-grandparents did for them, and so coming down the line. It could have been otherwise if they didn't do anything, we'd probably speak in Chinese in China for that matter, you know, but they made this choice, and I suppose we have to care for it. And they have to care for their children and so on too. That's it, you know. And I don't know what else to say.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that feels significant about your life or about? Yeah. Is there anything I haven't asked you that feels significant to share?
No, everything seems to work out just fine. You know, I can't tell you. I know quite a lot of people that are quite not satisfied with their life as it is. But I'm not going to complain. If I complain, something is going to strike me. I have no complaint, to be honest with you. I'm 8 years of age today, and I mean, well, hopefully reasonable health, and all I want in my life right now is for a little more time just to watch my grandchildren grow. And that's all there is to it. Yes, and I appreciate my family, my children, for who they are and who they've chosen as their spouse, and that's all that matters to me. And I'm quite sure a lot of, I'm not sure, but seeing a lot of people have that blessing, so to speak. So I'm just happy as it is, to be honest with you. I'm not telling you that I'm a fortune hunter or whatever it is, but it doesn't really matter. I can live, and that's all that counts. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.